13th. Gaza's healthcare system has been devastated by 16 years of Israeli regime's blockade and recurrent military attacks, and is currently facing immense challenges with the entry of vital medical supplies, equipment, and medications severely restricted by the Zionist regime.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady. You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies from all around the world, mothers, sisters, and every single one of you ladies from every corner of the world. Welcome back to a new episode of your favorite program, Muslim Lady. Well, I am Asma. I have the honor to be your host once more. And here we have Sister Zainab with us. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome to the studio. Well, I hereby have to offer my condolences to you, sister. And I know it's been quite a sad day for you. And for all of you who don't know what has happened in here, well, Sister Zainab has been through too much today. She lost her father, and we just pray for him, for his soul to rest in peace. For sure, he was a great man because he has such a great, wonderful girl. So I know it's going to be difficult for you, but again, it's a sign of your strength to be here.
Thank you so much for your condolences, and may Allah protect your nears and dears, everyone around. I'm here because of him. I dedicate this program to him, and because he has never taught me to stop in life, and I know he'll be more happy to be finding me in the studio.
Thank you, sister. Thank you for coming to the studio. And as for your father, may he rest in peace. That's all we can say. And may God give you patience to tolerate the loss of your dear one.
Inshallah. The zakat of knowledge is to share it. So we're here for that. Inshallah.
Exactly. And by the way, you are the symbol of practicing what you preach. Because we have always been here talking about patience, talking about strength, but all of these things are pretty much easier said than done. And now I can see that you practice them in real world, which is not a very easy thing to do.
I don't have any right to sit here and preach if I do not practice it. So yeah, may Allah give us strength.
Yeah. So, dear ladies, I hope you don't get sad, but this is the way of life. You know, unfortunately, the more we escape from it, the more it gets close to us. And death is not the full stop. It's actually the end of a journey to start a new one, which is eternal and which is going to stay there forever. So as women, since we have got this heart full of emotions and passions, it's very difficult for us to cope with the idea of losing someone. And someone, it becomes the phobia of our nights. Every night when we get to the bed, we just start overthinking and overthinking. And then the negativity of this overthinking would kill us. So according to you, is there any way to fight this fear of losing your dear ones?
Well, there are so many ways to fight the fear, but the basic thing is to know the fear itself and the reasons behind the fear. Like, fear is a very natural human emotion. However, what is important is that it should not paralyze us or control us. That's important. And it can manifest itself in the various areas of life, like in relationships. You fear to lose someone, in career, in the personal abilities, like you today have the ability of doing something, but tomorrow you don't. And it's all because of the attachment we have.
Exactly.
And especially when we have the fear of, like, losing someone, it's the emotional investment we have done. We are emotionally attached to things or people or our parents. Like, it's very natural. But since we invest our time, energy, and emotions, so it's really hard to get out of this attachment.
We actually invest our hearts.
Right.
Our hearts and our feelings.
Exactly. That's why I say we invest emotions, because they're all related to our heart. However, we have to realize we live in a practical world, and everything in this material world has an end. And there are some things that don't have an end. We've got to be focusing our attention on that particularly. Since I just lost someone very dear, my father, just today morning, I remember a very young boy who passed away. And then his mother was like, how should she convey this to her husband? They had this fear because this boy was ill for a long time, and then how she overcomes this fear and how she faces this tragedy is a good story. Like, she sees her husband coming back from a long journey, tired, and then gives everything to him, keeps herself prepared in the way she has to be in front of her husband, and then tries to talk to him. And she starts conversation like this. We had a majlis in home, and our neighbors lent me something to, you know, for that majlis, and now they're asking me to give it back. His husband says, yes, the thing that belongs to them, you have to give it back. She says, there was another neighbor coming in. She also lent me something, and she's also asking back for it. He says, yes, you know, how many times I shall tell you, whatever we take from someone, we have to give it back. She says to him, so, okay, then let me inform you. Allah had given us something, and we have to give it back to him. Inna Allahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Our son is no more. So yeah. This is the way she creates the beginning of, because this tragic event, what she's going through as a woman, how easy she made it for husband to, you know.
Well, actually, to put it that way, needs too much of courage, strength, and too much of creed, I suppose.
That's why I shared this in Muslim Lady, because this was a lady who did that, and women do have that strength. And we all gain that strength from Lady Zainab, Lady Fatima, who have seen so many troubles in their lives, but
exactly.
They have never stopped.
Yeah, that's very true. So Lady Zainab has been the paragon of patience, who teaches us, all the women from all around the world, the strength and patience that she actually shared in the most unbelievable tragedy of the world. So let's go for a short break, and then we'll be back for the rest of today's program.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
you're still listening to Muslim Lady. I'm Asma and Sister Zainab is here. Well, we talked about the loss of dear ones, which is very difficult. Well, theoretically, when you want to speak, you say that, okay, this is a mundane world. It's not going to stay forever. Everything has got an end. Okay, I agree with that. But then the attachment that we have, the emotional investment that you already talked about them, are very difficult to cope up with and then to let go of them. Just the story that you said was a very beautiful story, but then in practice, it's very difficult. I mean, for us as the listeners, it's something incredible. And then it's not just the fear of losing someone that would actually engage my brain with itself as a woman. It's more than that. Actually, this is the most awful one. There are some other branches to the fear of losing. One of them is the fear of losing your beauty as a woman. We see that when women get older, some of them even get depressed to the point that they just go for different surgeries and they go for different... I'm not talking about the coloring of the hair because that's something pretty natural and it happens. But women do not want to believe that old age is just embracing them.
Well, the fear of losing beauty is not exclusive to women only, but men and women can both experience this fear. However, women do have this fear a lot.
Well, they have more attachment to their face, to their body, to all the beauty that all these years you've been working on them, protecting them.
So it's really important to analyze where it roots from, what creates this fear. It's a common concern that arises from the societal beauty standards. What are the beauty standards that your society has provided? And the emphasis is put on the physical appearance. There's what it roots from, basically. Because society often places a high value on physical appearance, on promoting certain beauty standards. And, you know, today we even have social media for that. This is a typical, you know, this is a typical beauty standard.
Creator.
Right. Or like, this is a typical figure you should be having. This is a typical appearance you should be having, which really is not true. And this leads women to feel pressured to maintain their youthful appearance.
Exactly.
They undergo personal insecurities.
Like you feel you have been put in a competition and you must never lose that competition.
Right. And there lies another fear underneath the fear of losing beauty. That is the fear of aging.
Exactly.
That is the being judged based on the appearance. I'll be judged now. Oh my God. She has wrinkles. She has grown old.
Yeah.
That's how our society works like. So all these things contribute to this fear. However, it's important to note that beauty is subjective.
An old woman can be beautiful as well.
Right. It's transient. And actually, we have to understand what is beauty. I'm just talking about why women fear to lose beauty. What are the underlying reasons for that? It's natural desire to look and feel attractive. It's also important to recognize true beauty goes beyond physical appearance.
Exactly. Beauty is deeper skin.
Right. Shakespeare, in his sonnet 18, he addresses the transient nature of beauty by stating, every fair from fair sometime declines.
Yeah.
And we have seen it throughout his other sonnets as well, that he has understood the concept of beauty fades with time.
Sonnets,
the beauty of physical appearance, actually. The physical beauty does fade away with time. And that's not something that's very important.
Exactly, yeah. This beauty getting faded away by time is a common moral of many sonnets of Shakespeare and even of all the poets throughout history. So before we get into more, let's go for another break and then we'll be back. all the things that we have attachment to, like our dear ones, like our beauty, like whatever that we have worked on in this world, we're going to lose them all in all. So there is a full stop for all of them. As we were talking about the loss, the fear of losing our beauty, we came to this point, how to just overcome it. So we got to this point that beauty is deepest gain, and beauty is not this worldly thing that everybody sees on you. It's not just the dress that you wear and the face that is out of wrinkle. So let's define the real beauty.
True beauty does not lie in physical features. Rather, these features are basically subject to change, and we have to accept it as soon as possible. Otherwise, it will become difficult. The later we accept this fact, the difficult things will become for us. So we have to realize what real beauty is. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Jamalu fil lisan," beauty lies in your speech.
Yeah.
You know, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "La jamalu ahsanu min al aql." There's no beauty beautiful than your intellect.
Exactly.
Imam Ali alayhi salam again says, the beauty of a servant is in his obedience.
Yeah, submission to Allah.
Yes, the way you are submitting, the way you're obedient. Again, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, the beauty of life is in contentment. So again, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, adorn yourself with a good character, for no beauty shines brighter than that of a good character.
I guess if we want to say the gist, we'd put it this way, that the soul is the thing that would stay forever. So the more you work on your soul, the less attachments you would feel. And then the more you would care about your personality, the less attachment you'd feel to your body or your physics or your face, whatever beauty that you have from the outside. So the most beautiful things that you have lay in your souls and in your character and your personality. So yes, this was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you just found it fruitful. So yeah, until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, here are some words of wisdom to reflect upon from Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The powerful will be definitely humiliated if he ignores the right.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
امامت is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu Alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, we welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Farahzad. Stay tuned.
ما روایت داریم اگر پرونده اعمالتون رو ببینید که کوچکترین حرکت اشاره حرفاتون نوشته میشه.
In a hadith we are told that if we are shown a record of deeds and the smallest deeds that we did in this world, then we will control our tongue more than before. This is why silence and talking less is much recommended in Islam. Sheikh al-Baha'i, the famous Persian scholar, states, "Take care of the words, since it can change a believer to a disbeliever."
اگر بدانی که زبان چقدر آتش افروزی میکنه، چقدر کار بد انجام میده.
If we knew how much damage we are making every day with our tongue, we will control it more than before. Our speech is included among our deeds. Even according to Islamic teachings, it's better not to be only busy with words in our life and dedicate our time to more important things. Sometimes a simple negative word can ruin the effects of a positive deed, and sometimes a simple positive and kind word can erase the effects of a negative deed. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Farahzad. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
The U.S. International Development Agency.
Part 1.
Cultural diplomacy has been linked to building a two-way highway. A highway to create canals to produce a true picture of a nation and its values. In other words, cultural diplomacy is an effort to transfer culture and civilization from one nation to other nations. In the international relations arena, this exchange is intended to influence foreign policy. Cultural diplomacy is a clear example of applying soft power. The U.S. International Development Agency, USAID, is an important American axis of applying soft power in other countries. This organization was founded in 1961 during John F. Kennedy's presidency to help the economic and social development of countries worldwide. And in 2009, it was officially introduced as a U.S. State Department and Department of Defense collaborative agency. Till before 1961, a number of different foundations operated within the framework of the Marshall Plan to further the U.S.'s general diplomacy, and in the same year, following an operative order by John F. Kennedy, they were upgraded and assimilated as the U.S. International Development Agency. At present, the U.S. International Development Agency, USAID, is the most important American external development foundation, which expands in over 100 countries America's foreign policy interests such as hegemony, liberal democracy, and free markets.
The soft power would be spreading information in Cuba about how wonderful life is in the United States. Everyone's rich, everyone happy. Children, the young people go to concerts, go to the movies, and so on. And if you could only overthrow your government, you'd be like us. That's soft power.
The United States International Development Agency states its duty as managing foreign non-military aid. This complex is known as one of the greatest international aid agencies, with a budget of over $27 billion. Allocating a budget of such scale to humanitarian activity worldwide no doubt has a hidden side to its story. The U.S. diplomatic apparatus says instability in this interconnected world can also affect us. Hence, alongside the army, we must play a stabilizing role among nations and move local governments to take responsibility. It is with this belief that they justify USAID activity, because this method is more intelligent, safer, and less costly than sending its military force in. After World War II, the United States, to increase its own comfort and national security, adopted a new strategy to expand its economic, cultural, and social influence in the world by shaping countries' governmental and domestic structures. The U.S. first embarked on this strategy with the Marshall Plan to reconstruct Europe. It was with the Marshall Plan that America managed to fight communist influence in Europe, speed up the occurrence of a united Europe, create a vast consumer market for American industrial products, create the grounds for the dollar to rule as a universal currency, and most importantly, to seize great influence in these countries. While the Marshall Plan was being implemented in Europe, Truman's Article 4 program was being pursued as a technical help program for ensuring political stability and economic growth by the Technical Cooperation Head Office in developing countries. In years to follow, the trustee office for such foreign aid underwent some changes. And finally, in 1961, the U.S. International Development Agency was founded based on the foreign aid law. Marshall has still today been America's biggest foreign policy plan. To implement this plan, the Economic Cooperation Administration, ECA, was created under the supervision of the U.S. President. The chief of this office would be appointed by the President and approved by the Senate. In fact, this head office was on a par with an executive ministry in the eyes of the U.S. government.
Later, President Truman drove to the Capitol to put the Marshall Plan for European aid before Congress.
I'm here today to report to you on the critical nature of the situation in Europe and to recommend action for your consideration. I believe that it must be the policy of the United States.
In Europe, the response had been immediate.
The General Manager or Secretary General of this office and the U.S. Secretary of State would have to continually update each other on the situation.
Aid could best be applied.
Anytime the Secretary of State might conclude an act or proposal or inaction by the Secretary General is against U.S. foreign policy goals, and should differences of opinion remain unresolved, the issue would finally be referred to the President.
To rebuild a shattered economy and to reestablish inter-European trade on a basis of strength.
This is now a norm at USAID, which is an offspring of the Marshall Plan, and the manager of this complex is considered an important political personality. In the 1960s, the goal and focus of USAID was technical and financial aid. In the 1970s, it was more involved with basic needs. That's nutrition, population planning, healthcare education, and expansion of human resources. In the 1980s, it focused on expanding free market and stabilizing currency and financial systems. In the 1990s, lasting development became USAID's number one priority. After the collapse of the USSR, this agency played the main part in expanding American influence in the governing systems of countries left over from the USSR. In the 2000s, with the start of the wars against Afghanistan and Iraq, USAID was asked to take on in those countries the construction of the government, infrastructure, civil society, and basic services such as healthcare and education.
So when the United States invaded Afghanistan, 2001, a lot of people in the rural areas thought, okay, here's this rich country coming in. Maybe it'll do something for us. And there was a lot of positive feeling and hope about the U.S. in the early days of the invasion. That disappeared very quickly. Turned out that the U.S. forces, when they moved into Afghanistan, wanted to find people who would, local people who would run the country effectively. They turned to the warlords, the people who were all over Afghanistan, who were running their own areas, brutal, murderous, corrupt warlords.
USAID began reconstructing those two countries with the biggest fund allocation.
Afghanistan's farmers emerged from 30 years of war, and the United States Agency for International Development gives them a hand.
But its activity doesn't stop at these two countries. 100 countries today use this agency's services. At present, this organization is supported by U.S. Congress with a budget of $27.2 billion. It's worth seeing where in the world these countries are that USAID acts in.
Foreign assistance cannot solve all the world's problems. But what we can do is support local leaders to develop programs in partnership with local communities.
Organization as extended and important as USAID must be run by someone powerful. It is headed at present by the world's 41st most powerful woman, going by the Forbes list. That's Samantha Power, half Irish and half American, born in 1970. Samantha Power began her career as a war correspondent in the Yugoslav wars. Since then, until she made it as special assistant to the U.S. President for Human Rights, her activities have been many. You could say all these activities interconnected human rights issues. And yet she is known as a key Obama administration figure in convincing the president of military intervention in Libya.
Hi, everybody. I'm here on Trebević Mountain in Sarajevo. So much has changed in this country since I lived and worked here in the early to mid-1990s.
In her academic works, she has specifically focused on genocide. And in 2002, her book, A Problem from Hell, America and the Age of Genocide, was published.
He saw the universal capacity to carry out harms of great magnitude. Lemkin knew that no one...
Also, the documentary Watchers of the Sky addresses Power's activities in connection with the issue of confronting genocide.
I became interested in terrible suffering because it happened so many times. I said to myself, I'm going to do something about it.
Lemkin came with a new idea to transform these massacres into a crime.
Something clicked in him. Maybe if I had a better word, maybe then governments would ban the mass murder of civilians. Genocide. So he has a word. Now what?
The fact that a character such as Power is so sensitive to genocide is commendable. But only if she is fair and free-thinking enough to also see her own sovereign government's role in the great and disastrous genocide in the Congo and to react to it.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, salam and welcome. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, where we're going to speak about how do we avoid bad habits. So be with us. Today is Wednesday, the 4th of Rabiul Awwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Shahrivar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 20th of September, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to chapter Isra, verses 83 to 84, and then we talk about it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَأَى بِجَانِبِهِ وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ كَانَ يَأُوسًا.
And when we bestow favor upon the disbeliever, he turns away and distances himself. And when evil touches him, he is ever despairing.
قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِهِ فَرَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ هُوَ أَهْدَى سَبِيلًا.
Say, each works according to his manner, but your Lord is most knowing of who is best guided in way.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
When we bestow our blessings on men, he turns a blind eye to them as if it were not him who has prayed and appealed to us, distancing himself from performing what is his due in face of our blessings and is not grateful to us. And he also turns away from the bounty of the Quran. Mujahid says that it means he alienates himself from us. Hence, he gets involved in arrogance and egotism. But as soon as he is caught in the midst of poverty and sorrow, he loses his patience and becomes desperate, while a believer is not so, for he is always in a state of hope and activity. Hence, the verse refers to those who are not believers, though it appears to be general.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Wa tadarbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب.
We have one question. How do we avoid our bad habits? In our daily lives, we often find ourselves struggling with various bad habits that hinder our spiritual growth and overall well-being. A bad habit is a string of bad deeds that have become repetitive or even addictive. They could be as simple as indulging in front of the television, overeating, overspending, backbiting, vain talk, stagnating quarrels with others, not lowering one's gaze, and generally engaging in activities that could bring us closer to sin. Whatever it is, today is probably the best time to make those changes. Allah provides miracles every day of the year, and it happens to those who love Him and whom He loves in return.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Have you ever tried so hard to break a bad habit? Pull yourself back to rebuild yourself again with the hopes you could invite your friends on the same journey towards success, inshallah. Never be afraid of rejection or abandonment from your friends, but instead, find new ones who can lead you towards the right path. The fourth tip that we suggest is to make constant dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the biggest misunderstandings in the journey of self-improvement is the all-in or nothing-at-all mentality. Many people tend to think that breaking a good streak once is the end of the process. You have failed and lost all motivation to push forward. This is wrong. Allah is all forgiving. So you have to forgive yourself when you make a mistake. As we are only humans, so if you fall off, do not worry. Get back to the horse. Shrug off the minor setback and move forward. If you keep falling into habits that go against Islamic principles, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and strengthen to push forward. Always make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you consistency and endurance to overcome the bad habits and guide you to the straight path, inshallah.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
One of the questions that we should ask ourselves to break a bad habit is, do I think it is all or nothing? Yes, be prepared that you will slip up and try to not let it get you down. A habit took a long time to form and it takes time to break. When you slip up, Shaitan will happily make you feel demotivated and think, see, I knew I couldn't do it, or what's the point? Seek refuge from Satan instead of focusing on where or when you went wrong, focus on what went right. You manage not to shout for 3 days and then slip up the fourth day. Say, Alhamdulillah, you at least didn't shout for those 3 days and astaghfirullah for the day you did. It's important to praise Allah, the Most High, and celebrate your success once in a while rather than listening to Shaitan and let your guilt prevent you on your journey of breaking that habit. You can get yourself a treat or a gift after breaking your habit for a certain amount of time. One way of building our good habits is be consistent. You're listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. Like how it is mentioned that bad habits are built over time, likewise the good ones follow the same order as well. Whatever you have set out to do, it will take time to be ingrained in your daily life as a routine. The key is to keep doing it day by day. The Prophet was asked about deeds that are most beloved to Allah. The Prophet said, "The acts that are most pleasing to Allah are those which are done continuously, even if they amount to little. Therefore, choose a deed or action that is small and good, such as doing your prayers on time continuously."
Another form of addiction, nastajiru billah, is alcoholism. Those that are addicted to alcohol, and they become alcoholics. They're constantly drunk. They live off of alcohol. This is not only detrimental to their health, to their livers, to their kidneys, but they're also putting themselves and others in danger. Usually alcoholics, they don't just stay at home. They go out and drive under the influence. So they are risking their lives and they're risking the lives of anyone else who's on the street. And many of them end up in jail. This addiction could end you up in jail. You could end up killing someone, if not killing yourself. So this is very dangerous. Alcoholics tend to lose their families. No one wants to live with an alcoholic. They'll get divorced. They'll lose their children. They'll lose their job. And they could lose their lives. Another kind of addiction, which is a growing trend in some of our communities in the West, is the drug addiction. This is a problem among the youth. Being addicted to drugs. All kinds of drugs. Especially now that some form of drugs are being legalized in some states, in some countries, in some parts of the Western world. This is a growing problem, even in the Muslim community. This is a problem. Some say, well, what's the big deal? There are some drugs like marijuana that aren't very harmful. They don't harm the health. They don't kill. It's not a big deal. First of all, it does harm your health. It harms your lungs and it impairs your judgment. You could get in a car accident. You risk your life and you risk the lives of others. And for some, it could become a gateway drug, meaning it opens the doors to other drugs, other very dangerous drugs. So it starts off small, but it could end off with heroin. They could kill. They could ruin your life.
Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic about good habits and bad habits. So follow us. Thank you very much and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Deadline, Zeron Zeter says the West, including the U.S., was seeking the collapse of the Islamic Revolution by backing the former Iraqi dictator during his war against the Iranian nation. Addressing the U.N. General Assembly, Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi says the presence of foreign forces